your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians this morning, chapter number 4. We're going to only read a few verses here out of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We're going to read verse 16 and verse 17. I'll give you a little bit more time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God as we just read these two verses, verse 16 and 17 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning on this simple subject. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for what? Are you ready for Jesus to come back? Let's pray. Father, I thank you now for this morning. I thank you for the simple truth that we're about to learn. Now, Holy Spirit, again, please, I ask that you help me say exactly what you would say if you were in my boots this morning. I ask that you'd help us to hear exactly what you want us to hear, each one of us in the seats in which we're in. And please, Almighty God, help us to follow your truth throughout our life and throughout our day. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. With all that's going on in the world today, with all the wars, and they seem to spring up overnight all over the world, don't they? Now Israel's been in the 18-day war, I believe, with Hamas there, and with all the earthquakes, they seem to pop up over nowhere. We have had earthquakes in places we haven't had earthquakes before. When we lived in Cleveland, Ohio, I was surprised we had a couple earthquakes there. With the hurricanes and the tsunamis and the catastrophes and unrest in the Middle East and the financial meltdowns of our country and other nations, I think it's all bringing us to the brink of the return of our Lord. Prophecy is history written in advance. All the things that happened to Jesus in his life here on earth were foretold by the prophets of old. So, prophecy is history written in advance. Prophecy is also something that we find in the New Testament. All the things of the future have already been settled in heaven. God already has everything in order, and God does have an order. God has a timetable, and God has a plan. And in the New Testament, we find prophecy, the future of what will be held for God's people, are foretold by prophetic writers in the New Testament. In the prophetic writings, we find a shining jewel for us as Christians to hang on to, and that's our blessed hope of the return of Jesus Christ. No matter how bad it gets here, I can always look forward to the fact Jesus is coming again. Persecution of Christians has been on the uprise for the last decade for sure in the world. And now we see whole nations where they used to have thousands of Christians. And I heard on the news today that in some of those nations they were given their names. Now there's zero Christians that live there. Because of the persecution of you either become a Muslim in that nation, or you pay money to survive, or we kill you. And in those nations, it was reported on Fox News this morning, that a number of those nations have zero Christians now. It's nothing new that persecution happens. It just seems odd that in our day, we would be finding those kind of things. Yet, those kinds of things happen in Somalia and other places in the world in the past. All these things are things that tell me that no matter how bad things get, Jesus is coming again. And I can depend on the fact that Jesus is coming again. And if I'll depend on the fact that Jesus is coming again, no matter what comes up in life, no matter what the world throws at you or me, I know I can depend on Jesus is coming again. Why should we work earnestly for the Lord in this day of liberalism and Christianity? Why should we? Because Jesus is coming again. Why should we pray every day? Because Jesus is coming again. Why should I read our Bible? Why should we read our Bibles? Can I tell you why? Because Jesus is coming again. Why should we tell our friends and loved ones about salvation in Jesus Christ? Can I tell you why? Jesus is coming again. I believe in the rapture. The rapture is a calling out of God's people prior to the tribulation, great tribulation that's taught about in Revelation. And Jesus is coming again. And I believe that as I get prepared for that, I know that Jesus will come and take us out. For I want you to notice in verse 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air." That is talking about the time when Jesus returns and the rapture occurs and we meet Jesus in the air, and that day's getting closer. Paul taught and the disciples taught that they should prepare back in New Testament days because they believed it was close. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to realize that the Lord's day is getting closer every day. I don't know the date. I remember a few years ago, the guy was saying that Jesus was going to return on this particular date. I think it was like September 5th of 2011 or something like that, or 2013. I don't remember the date, but he had it all set up. Do you remember? Didn't happen. No man knows the date, but I know it's coming closer. I know it's getting nearer. And I know that we need to prepare ourselves and prepare our friends and prepare our neighbors and prepare our loved ones for the return of Jesus Christ. There is a Jesus Christ. And He is coming for the Lord that is Jesus. For the Lord that is the only begotten Son. For the Lord that is the Holy One of Israel. For the Lord Himself, the One who has forgiven us of our sins. The Lamb of God. The resurrected Savior. The Son of God, the second part of the Trinity, He Himself. There'll be no substitutes. There'll be no fakes. Won't be an angel. It's Jesus. He's coming to get His people. There'll be no representatives on His behalf. No one will be in His place. It's Jesus Himself. It will be our Christ, the One with the nail marks in His hands and in His feet and in His side. When the completion of God's plan for the local New Testament church has been completed, then the Lord will call all of His believers to meet Him in the air. That's known as the rapture. The word rapture will never be found in your Bible. It's not there. It's a word that we've used in Christianity to explain what we see here. In verse number 17, shall be caught up together. The word rapture means to be caught away from or to be taken out. It means that we believers will be taken out of this earth and will meet the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the air. And from that point on, we'll forever be with the Lord. It will be God's method of transporting His saints from this planet earth to the meeting in the air to be at the Lord forever. Here's what will happen. The Lord will descend from heaven, as we see in verse 16. He will leave His home in heaven again for the second time. This time He'll not be the sacrificial lamb, but He will be the exalted Savior. He'll come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Gabriel will proclaim it. And the trump of God shall sound. I wish I had a trumpet. I'd love to sound it. Because that's the sound that you and I will hear as Jesus returns. It's a triumphal sound. The trumpet was played in the presence of all royalty when they'd stand up or enter into an area. The trumpets would sound to announce the King. And ladies and gentlemen, King Jesus is coming here to get you and me. I can't wait for that day. It's an exciting date for me. Jesus is coming again. My Lord, my Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is coming for me. And He's coming for you. What an exciting thing to know that King Jesus, I don't know about you, in my lifetime I've had the privilege of being in the presence of a few what I would call important people. I've met a few presidents. I've spoken to presidents of our country on the telephone. I've consider that a great, great honor to meet someone like that. If Prince Charles was to come here in the United States, many people would flock just to get a chance to shake his hand because it would be an honor to shake the hand of a future king. If you got a phone call today at your home that said this week at the White House there's going to be a meeting and President Barack Obama has requested your personal attendance at that meeting, we're sending some people to pick you up, a car to pick you up in, a plane to fly you in. We're going to land you at the Air Force base, drive you straight to the White House, because the President wants your opinion and your views and your thoughts on something. Would that not be a privilege? I mean, who gets that kind of request? People do get those kinds of requests. I've never had that particular request. But that'd be an honor. It'd be an honor if the Queen of England, Elizabeth, sent someone to pick you up and bring her to her royal palace to meet with her. Yet I have King Jesus who knows me by name. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He knows where I live. He knows where I sit in church. He knows what I think. He knows everything about me. He has every hair on my head numbered. In fact, He even knows the ones that I lost in the shower this morning. He knows everything there is to know about me. A king knows me personally, King Jesus, and He's coming to pick me up personally. He's not sending someone on His behalf. He's not sending a car to pick me up. He's not sending an airplane to pick me up so I can meet Him in His kingdom. He's coming Himself. He's coming to meet you and me. What an honor. What a thrill. What an excitement. In fact, the more we think about that, the more the things of this earth and all the problems that are on this earth fade away in our minds, knowing that Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is coming for me. Then the dead in Christ are raised first, it says in verse 16. Those are the saints who have been alive, who have now passed away. You know, like Adam and Abraham and Peter and James and John, all the apostles. The dead in Christ shall be raised first, and we which are alive and remain, we're going to follow. So every grave of every person that's ever received Jesus Christ will be open, and they'll be raised up from the dead. I don't think it's going to be a bunch of skeletons, amen? They're going to be raised up as they were known. We'll be known in heaven as we are known, the Bible says. And they'll be raised up. All the sea will give up the dead that are in them. All the soldiers and sailors that have died in wars around the world who were saved on their way to heaven had Christ as their Savior. Their body will be raised. And their soul will be reunited with their body. Those that have been burned in fires, charred and turned into ash, their body will be raised up. Not in ash, but in a body. Every grave will be open, no matter where it's at, of every Christian who's ever known Jesus Christ. Old Testament Christian, New Testament Christian, we'll all meet Him in the air. Then we that are living will be caught up in the air to meet Him, verse 17. Thus someday soon, I believe, the trumpet will sound. Will blow from heaven, and not everybody's going to hear it. Only those who know Jesus Christ. Only those who have Jesus Christ as their Savior will hear the sound. And the saved will leave earth to go meet Jesus in the air. That is the rapture. For some, this is hard to believe. For others, they don't believe it at all. And then there's people like me who think about it all the time. But be not deceived by those that don't believe. What would we expect from those who don't believe? But for them to cause doubt on that which is taught in Scripture. So let me give you some things that we can learn. And things that we can apply in our life this week. The rapture will be instantaneous. Take your Bible, if you would, please, and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 is where we'll start to read. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, starting with verse number 51. And it says this, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Ladies and gentlemen, I live in victory. You live in victory. We have victory in Jesus Christ. He's given us the victory. I get to go to heaven. I don't have to stay here on this earth. I don't have to go through the tribulation time. I don't have to go through all the hard times. I get to go to heaven. Boy, if I could jump up there right now, I'd go. Amen. And when the trump sounds, we get lifted up and we'll meet the saints in the air. And forever we'll be with our great Savior. Man, that's exciting. I look forward to that day. It'll be the greatest day in the history of mankind. But can you imagine those who are still here? Can you imagine being in that airliner? Pilot saved. There's 372 people on the plane. 112 go. The pilot goes. The co-pilot goes. The navigator goes. And the rest of them are still flying on the plane. I wouldn't want to have been on that plane. Yet that'll happen. Can you imagine driving down the road and you suddenly hear, you see that heavens part and you hear the trump of God and immediately, poof, we're called up to meet Him in the air. This corruptible puts on incorruption. This mortal puts on immortality, and there we are with the Lord. I have a feeling my car's going to still be on the road, don't you? Uh-oh, I wouldn't want to be driving around me. Because I'm not going to pull over to the side. Just a minute, Lord. Just a minute. Keep blowing that trumpet. Let me get pulled over to the side. Boom! We're going. It's instantaneous. It's going to happen all over the world like that. It's going to be an exciting day. But can you imagine the mass confusion that's going to go on down here? I wonder how many people are going to say,
"We've been invaded from space aliens." Look at all the people that have disappeared. There must have been a ray gun coming out.
All the silly things that the unbelievers are going to come up with to try to explain what's occurred. But the truth is that instantaneously, God takes everyone who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior to heaven. It doesn't matter if you're perfect, you just got to be saved. It doesn't matter if you're young or old, you just got to be saved. You got to be Jesus. He takes His own, amen? Notice the words, "We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." That's all of a sudden. That's as sudden as 9/11 of 2001, when people are at their workstation in the towers, World Trade Center towers in New York, and suddenly a plane crashes in. That was unexpected. That's how unexpected the rapture is going to be. Can you imagine what the unexpected of a death announcement? Have you ever got a phone call or heard, "Hey, suddenly this person died"? I know we've received a number of those over my lifetime. That's shocking. It's unexpected. We're unprepared for it. Oftentimes a tsunami will come, or a cyclone will come, you'll be having a storm, and suddenly a tornado comes. A cyclone comes, and I heard about today, or not today, this week, about a trailer park somewhere here in the United States. Suddenly all these RVs were picked up in the air and cast all over the place because a tornado came through unexpectedly. That's how quick and unexpected the Lord's return is going to be. Can you imagine the people in Hiroshima, Japan? They never dreamed that the day that they lived their last day when the atom bomb was dropped would be their last day. They woke up that morning, they got dressed that morning, they brushed their teeth that morning, they combed their hair that morning, they got their clothes on, they went to work, they went to school, they started down to the store, and suddenly, out of nowhere, this bomb comes, and they were gone. Unexpected. Instantaneous. That's what the rapture is kind of going to be like. And only that Christians will be experiencing it. And suddenly, out of nowhere, for no explanation, this massive change is going to happen. Every Christian then should be preparing for the rapture to occur any moment. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 says this, "Watch ye therefore, and know that the hour your Lord doth come." In Matthew chapter 24, verse 23, it continues, "But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known at which But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in which watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." That's what it says in Matthew chapter 24, verses 43 and 44. And 45 says this, "Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." In other words, who's ready for his coming. So the rapture will be instantaneous. That rapture is intimate. That means it could be here any time. The rapture is going to happen at any moment. It's coming as a thief in the night. It's coming as no one's expecting it. If you're not waiting and watching, you don't know what's going to come. It's still going to come. You're just going to be caught in surprise. The thief doesn't call and say, the Bible's teaching us here, "I'll be there at 1:45 a.m., so be ready." He doesn't call us and let us know that. "On June 27th, I'll be..." Doesn't say that. "On August 14th, at 2 p.m., I'll be coming to your home to rob you." Doesn't say that. It just happens at any moment. The rapture is that way. Number three, the rapture will be selective. Not everybody goes. Only those that know Jesus Christ. Only those who have taken Jesus Christ as their Savior will be taken. 1 Thessalonians chapter 13, chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, which is part of our reading today. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus has died and rose again, even so them which are asleep in Jesus God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, which are alive and remain, unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." These are supposed to be comforting words. It's supposed to be an encouraging thing. "The dead in Christ, yes, thus shall rise first. And which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Only a few will be selected. Only those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior will go up to meet those in the clouds. The world says many things. And I know already they deny that even the rapture is taught in the Bible. This is one of the reasons that it's going to be so sudden and unexpected, because they've denied it all this time. By the way, just because the world denies something doesn't mean it's true. They deny that Mary was a virgin, but it's still true Mary was a virgin. They deny today that we were created. They say that we were, evolved, okay? Evolution. They believe in evolution. I don't believe in evolution. We are created in the image and the likeness of God. Just because they deny it doesn't mean it's true. There's many even preachers today that deny that hell is real. That there even is a hell. But that doesn't change the fact that it is there and it is real. Many people believe that there's no devil. But that doesn't change the fact that there is. And ladies and gentlemen, many people preach today that the rapture is not going to occur. Many of the world believe that it's not true. But may I say, it doesn't matter what they believe. It's going to happen. Because God said so. And ladies and gentlemen, I have a comfort in knowing that Jesus is coming again. In fact, He's coming just for His own. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for the day shall come, except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin may be revealed, and the son of perdition." So there is a falling away. There's an unbelief that's going to happen. And there's unbelief now all over the globe. Like I said earlier, Christianity's under attack. The Word of God's been under attack for a long time. The devil's trying to win. And God says all these are indications that He's coming back. Jesus Christ is coming again. Now the question is this. Are you ready? I don't mean are you saved. Are you ready? I don't mean is heaven your home. I mean, are you ready? I'm not asking you, are you sinless? I'm asking you, are you ready? What do you mean by that, preacher? It's simply this. If Jesus were to come this afternoon, is there anything in your life that you would not want Him to catch you doing while you're doing it? Then we need to get ready. We need to eliminate that thing in our life. I don't know when that trumpet's going to sound. Jesus says, be ready. It'll happen at any time. So then I need to pray every day regardless of what I think. I need to be faithful in reading my Bible in preparation for the return of the Lord. Because I don't want the Lord to come back and then He say, well, I've been backslidden for a long time. If I would have known you were coming, I'd have baked the cake. I would have prepared. I would have been ready. But we're supposed to know. That's why it's so important that we live for Him. Because I don't know at what moment He's going to come. That's why, can you imagine you're in a bar room swearing up a storm and suddenly the Lord comes back and boom, you're talking to some guy and suddenly you're in front of the Lord and you're half drunk? I wouldn't want to be that way. With swear words coming out of your mouth, I'm not going to be that way. I want to be prepared. I want to be ready. I don't want to be mad at somebody as I'm going to heaven. I don't want to be holding a grudge against somebody as I'm preparing to go to heaven. I don't want to have sin all over my life as I'm preparing to go. And I don't know where I'm going to go. It's amazing how many heart attacks happen of people who don't expect them that day. And they just happen. And the person's gone. They weren't prepared. They didn't expect it. They weren't looking for it to come. Many times we leave many of those folks leave many things undone in their life. But I want to live in a position where I've told people what I think. I want my loved ones to know I love them all the time, not just before a major thing happens. I want to let my Lord know I love Him all the time, not just before a major thing occurs. I want to let Him know I'm faithful in doing what He's commanded us to do. And one of those is to pray without ceasing. Isn't that what He teaches us? Pray without ceasing. That means I need to pray all the time. It'd be a terrible thing to say, oh Lord, if I would have known You had come, I would have started praying a couple years ago. But I haven't talked to You in a long time. Yet that's how many people will be when the rapture occurs. It'll be unexpected. It'll be immediate. It'll be for the chosen. And it can happen at any time. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you, are you ready? I look forward to meeting the Lord. And I'm far from a perfect person. And there's many days I have to say to myself, if Jesus came right now, is this the way you'd want Him to see you? Is this the way that you'd want to be behaving when He comes for you? And I have to remind myself, I need to do the right thing. I need to talk the right way. I need to behave in a way that glorifies His name all the time. And can I say something? Many years ago, in the Old Testament, there was a man who knew God. His family knew God. Abraham was his relative. And he decided to choose the way of the world. And when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, this man's testimony was so poor, his children didn't even leave the city. His son-in-laws laughed in his face. His grandchildren were destroyed with the sudden destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah because one man decided that he wasn't going to live for Jesus Christ. I do not want to be like Lot when Jesus returns, because Jesus is coming. And I want my sons to go, and my daughters to go, and my grandchildren to go, and my son-in-laws to go, and my daughter-in-laws to go. I want them all to know that I stand for Jesus Christ and believe in Him and in His Word. And unfortunately, Lot wasn't prepared. Let's not lay our lot of life with Lot of the Bible. Let's live our life preparing for the return, the blessed hope of Jesus Christ, because He's coming again. Father, thank You for what we've learned today.